Views and opinions expressed by guests on the show are their own and do not reflect the views of the creators, hosts, or that of Crier Media or their partners. The show may cover sensitive topics and information and discuss triggering issues.
Emily.
Listener discretion is advised.
Fact check. News, massage, spa. Ooh.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nice to see you. Why does that intro cut off so fast? Why doesn't it keep going? Did you do that?
I don't know. No, I didn't.
So you have something to do with that? Did you wreck that? No, I don't think you did. Welcome to the show. My name is Dean. That is Lachlan Cross. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I have an announcement that I want to make quickly before we get going, because I want to get into our conversation with Emily. We got lots to talk about. Emily from Muse. This is like relationship. We're digging deep today.
We're going to talk about the solar eclipse today. A little bit of that. We're going to talk about when it's time, fellas, when it's time to just shave it, shave your head. I got some really solid advice for men out there today, and we're going to talk about fetishes. Yeah, you're good. Because it's fetish week at Muse Massage Spa. And I read about some fetishes yesterday. I need some explanation. So if you're a fetish person, kink person, today's your day. And if you're an eclipse person, and a bald person.
Today's your day. Oh, also. Yeah. And this is a tax announcement. I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to tell you the announcement afterwards, okay?
All right.
Correct. And that was really the impetus for this version of Kevin J. Johnson, correct?
Precisely. You nailed it.
I got it. Not bad.
There you are.
How do you like that?
Yeah,
how do you like a very popularized version of your life?
And I am the kind of guy, Dean, I'm not going to get into fist fights. I'm not going to lose my cool and throw stuff across the room. I took my frustration and channeled it into something. At least I thought it was positive.
Yeah. Did you not get arrested for a couple of altercations during COVID?
21 times.
Just a couple.
But they weren't altercations.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. By the way, we found out yesterday, and if you get a chance, go listen to the Kevin J. Johnston
Bananas
podcast. It was
fucking bananas. It was one of my favorite interviews of all time, by the way, because he's crackers. Yeah. What are you saying?
It is not what you think it is.
No.
You have an expectation right now. You're thinking about this guy because you kind of know him. He hung out with Chris Sky. And then you got Dean. And then you throw me into the mix. And then you put this guy, Kevin, on a podcast. And everyone goes, I know what this is. I know exactly what this is.
No, you don't.
And you're all wrong. You need to go listen to that podcast. And next week, Kevin J. Johnston will be joining the Crier Media Network for a weekly podcast teaching you how to do your taxes.
Well done. Nice announcement. Way to hit it off the top. Yeah, we interviewed Kevin J.
What
Johnston
are we paying Kevin?
Nothing. We're not paying him anything. He's not coming out of the network. So Kevin has been arrested 22 times. For everything from like racially assaulting people to not showing up for court dates. He's on the run. He's been one of the funniest stories during the pandemic. Like that story of him like escaping Canada, claiming political asylum in the States, hiding in a snowbank with frostbite, almost freezing to death in Butte, Montana. He's like, and then they're like, get the fuck out of here. And they sent him back to Canada.
He
was jail time anyway.
The funny part of that conversation was he got picked up by Border Patrol. And he got taken to the police station.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't know what they were doing, man. It took him forever. He couldn't figure out what to do with me. Ah, that's because no one ever tries to escape Canada. It's funny, right? You can get into a room with somebody, you go to a dinner party, and you can have a conversation with somebody, and you can figure something out about them and their belief structures, and it's completely polar opposite to you. And you can still get along and you can still feel like that guy maybe lives on the same planet as you. That is not the case with Kevin.
No,
Kevin
not
has
at
a
all.
Very different idea of the world around him. Mm-hmm. And I am pretty sure is living on a completely different planet, an alternative universe from the rest of mankind. But the interview was very entertaining.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? Everybody's out there doing these gotcha interviews with people from different cultures and trying to go, well,
we
you said this
gotcha.
And what about that? I gotcha. Well, you did this back then. I was like, I gotcha. Like, it's gotcha.
Don Lemon.
So
Elon
stupid.
Elon Musk.
Yeah, yeah. This is the dumbest interview ever. And we let Kevin get himself for like an hour yesterday, right? Like we just kept giving him rope. Here's some more.
Nah, that's no. We didn't even do that. It wasn't.
Yeah, we did. I gave him a ton of rope.
No. We had a good conversation with him. There was some common ground. Very little, but there was a bit.
You know what the common ground was? I think he's hilarious, and he was having a great time trying to tell me that he was being serious, not evading taxes down in Costa Rica, helping other people do it for the next like couple of years because he's just fucked. So that's the common ground that we share.
Tax tips with Kevin. That's the name of the show.
He's like, I'm going to bring it. Emily from News. Let's bring you in for this. Em, baby, sister.
Hey. Love,
how are you?
Hey,
music massage spot. Good. Did you see the interview with Kevin J. Johnson yesterday? Did you see that?
I watched a few minutes and I turned it off, to be honest. I couldn't.
You got to go back. Em, you got to go back.
So you remember him, right? You remember him from the pandemic?
I do. Yeah.
Like absolutely awful hate speech about Mohammed Faqih from Paramount.
Yeah, and there was
told
more,
to retract though. That he doubled down and then he started punching people over soap in different aisles, bugging guys. But he's fucking big. He was one of those guys, one of those agitators. So we talked to him yesterday and he told us a story about how he tried to escape Canada. I almost pissed my pants laughing because he almost
died. I remember talking about that on this podcast. Dean, it escaped him, his memory of it. But yeah, interesting duck. Again, I repeat, Emily did exactly what everybody is thinking about that podcast.
Yeah.
She turned it in, said, I know what this is, and turned it off. You have to watch it. Okay.
Brilliant.
I want to take control here. And I know we got lots to talk about, but Dean and I have had a conversation, Emily, over the last, I'd say, couple of weeks about Dean becoming a middle-aged snack. Okay. We have t-shirts. Here, I'll show you the t-shirt.
Why is I can't help it. I'm just a middle-aged snack. Yeah. You had it. It was good. It was nice. A black t-shirt. I think it comes in white. I would never wear a white t-shirt though. Just in case someone starts spraying water around and wants to have a wet t-shirt contest with Dino. I'm not into it.
Okay. All right. So go to the Dean store. You can buy that shirt for yourself or maybe somebody in your family. Make a great gift. Father's Day just around the corner. Now, I want to ask you this, Emily.
Okay.
It's not a yes or no question. What is it about Dean? And I'm not talking looks either. I want to dig a little bit deeper because I have a theory and I'm wondering if you have a similar theory to me. What is it about Dean
that screams big sex? Is that what you're saying?
That's turned him into this middle-aged snack because he has numerous women like DMing him, right?
Right.
All unreplied to, by the way. I'm very happy, man.
And you showed your girlfriend. Absolutely. You showed your girlfriend. Right.
Totally.
So we're not hiding anything here. No. But what is it about? Right. What is it about Dean? Because I got a theory, but I want to hear you, Em.
I'm almost nervous what your theory is.
I am too.
Right. Like, to me, I mean, you're very handsome when it turns to the physical, but you're funny. Comedy is always attractive to women. You're intelligent. You're controversial. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a bad boy. But you're a bad boy with a good heart. And I think that makes it like,
Is that the thing? That's the secret sauce for women is you got to be a bad boy with a bit of a big heart. Like I'm a big softy. I'll cry watching puppy videos or like army vets coming home to see their kids. I'm like, I'll ball.
Those ones kill me.
Yeah. But all those things have
I got no problem taking a strip off of people too, right? Like or setting the record straight, but I only go after. But is that what women are into? At this age, we're roughly the same age. You're younger than me. I'm not much younger than me. Just want to say that. Okay. We're from the same school, right? Women back then just like badasses. They're like, oh, I just want a badass. But it's evolved, hasn't it? Women want a badass with a sense of social responsibility. Maybe some
social responsibility and isn't an asshole.
We're not putting that t-shirt out. Jesus, Dean.
Say that again, Em. What do you say?
We like a little bit of like both in the sense that you could be an asshole to everybody else, just not to us. Like the one you love is the one that you should be soft for.
The most.
Yeah.
Both of you are so, wrong because he's
a bad boy, but don't be bad. You know?
Yeah. I see how excited Dean is to agree with everything that Emily said.
I mean, okay. He's a silver fox. I've told him that already.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not disputing this.
Hang on. Let's just check me out for a second.
That's.
Look at this.
Okay.
No, when I first told him, I took a screenshot and sent it to him of himself, and I was like, "Look at the silver fox right now."
Yeah, yeah. I get a lot of nice messages from him. I'm like, "Oh, you saucy lady, you.
Look at you."
Emily, you knew Fat Dean, right? Like you knew Bigger Dean, Big Fat Sweaty Dean, Big Fat Radio.
I never thought you were fat and sweaty.
Oh, I was.
You
was.
You were just dad bod Dean.
No, it was like
dad bod. When you're 300 pounds plus, you're not dad bod. That ship sailed. Okay, hold on. Button. Listen,
I thought it was the weight loss. That's why
you guys really don't want me to talk about my theory here. Emily, you're wrong.
The look I got in Loblaws yesterday
I'm getting my theory
out. Really cute 72-year-old lady, by the way.
Listen, big dick energy comes across no matter what the circumstances are. Okay. It could be 72 in the grocery store.
Exactly.
Hang on. I'm telling you my theory. It's happening.
All right.
Emily, there's nothing wrong with what you said, and I agree with it at all.
Okay.
But I think there's something else, and this is something that I've learned about Dean. Right. Let's just say I fly to Ontario and I hit the airport. I got a mic in hand and I'm gonna do some streeters. I'm gonna do some interviews. I'm gonna find out if anybody still remembers who Dean Blundell is. And we go around, I go around and I find a couple of people that remember Dean Blundell from the Edge days. And I ask them, give me an opinion of Dean Blundell. What do you think he's like? No one is going to say what I've learned about Dean in the last couple of years. And this is where I think the middle-aged snack thing has come into play. I think the world can be broken into two categories of people. Okay. You got pleasers. And you got people that take care of themselves. And then there's just this amazing spectrum in the middle. I had to teach myself to care about other people because I'm over here. I'm a take care of yourself kind of guy. And over the years, being self-aware, I have figured out that you can't just fucking plow through life just thinking about yourself and disregarding everybody else's opinions. But I was very good at it. And something happened, some childhood trauma, whatever the fuck it was, that set me up like that. And I, before knowing Dean as well as I would have said, he's in this camp with me. I'm way better now. Like I go out of my way to try to make sure people are happy, but it was something I had to teach myself. Okay. Dean, no one would put him in this pleaser camp. He is a pleaser. He really does care about other people and what other people think. Ding, ding, and ding. And I think when you're a pleaser, I don't think it's anything to do with silver fox. I don't think it's anything to do with big dick energy.
Yes,
when you're a pleaser, both male and female, you attempt to try to get people to like you and enjoy enjoy being around you. That's Dean. And I think that's why, because he's really comfortable with himself. He's not struggling with his alcoholism. He's in a good place. He's gotten back to that true sense of who he was. When he was on the air, he didn't play that fucking guy. He played this. I'm the fucking best guy in the world. I'm the best jock in the world. You guys all need to follow me. Get on the horse. But in actual fact, he wasn't that guy. So now he's being true to himself. And it is very appealing to the opposite sex. That's my fucking theory. Nailed it. We can move on.
Was your lot. Em, what do you think?
You think I 100% disagree.
Really?
100%. Like, it's almost it like you were using some of the right buzzwords, but it's your timeline's backwards. People pleasers, that's not a sense of I know myself and maturity and self-acceptance and growth and all that. That's almost like a weakness. You're overcompensating, caring too much what people think. I don't think Dean gives a fuck what people think, to be honest. Think
he's really good at letting
right? But when he was on air back in the Edge days, you played harder than I think your heart is. But I think that was also part of the environment and the industry that you're in. You put on a persona just like everybody else has to in their career. And it's almost an armor in a way, right? Because it protected the soft side of you, and you can get lost in that sauce really easily. And then you cleared the fog, and now you don't have to people please at all. You don't give a shit.
I just want you guys
Emily's
to know.
Right. You're wrong. Even though I spend way less time.
There's my
Emily
mic drop moment.
Boom.
Emily, I just want you to know, both of you, what? We can continue on. I'm going to be okay.
Let me,
we've only
let me,
been doing this for
no,
15 minutes. And it's okay that you guys are wrong. It'll be fine from this point on.
But you know what? You touched. It's like your theory was the rim job of theories.
Yeah, it was almost just not
around the hole.
Yeah,
but you weren't in the hole, right? Like you're kind of
you're poking around.
Yeah. It's like
put it in. Help me. Put it in.
No, that's Nass cheek. No, that's wrong. That's a taint.
You were like in and around the taint region of the conversation.
Yeah.
So here's my theory. This is my theory. Emily, you're 100% right. So when I was at the edge, armor, great word. I could create this thing, right? This thing was what I was getting paid. I'll just say it, millions of dollars for.
Mm-hmm.
Be this thing. And I'm like, 7 years in, I'm like, I think I'm having some like mental issues, man. And they're like, don't worry about it. We'll get you a counselor. And I'm like, I don't like being this guy. Don't worry about it. We'll get you a therapist. You got to keep doing what you do. If you don't do what you do, you're not going to have a job. And I'm like, all right. And hey, don't get me wrong. I was really proud of what I did. Very successful. I had a nice time. It was a lot of fun. It was a Heritage Memorial. All that other shit. Just
right.
I had no fucking idea who I was at the end of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who I was. You get out of radio, you don't know who you were. Em, you can say the same thing about you being younger, being in your industry. You're like, you know, there's one thing to make money and for that to be your personality or for that to be who you are or for you to be something to everybody else. But yeah. I cannot imagine knowing how comfortable I am to be myself. And Emily, you're 100% right, because I do not give a shit about people. And I am a people pleaser, but only the people I love. That's it. Anybody else can suck a dick. Sorry, that's just my language. Everybody else is out there, right? And if I love you, man, you get all my attention. You get all my love. But if I don't love you, that's when Fat Dean comes out and he goes, who are we fighting? Who wants it, right? But even in that is different, because I don't care what anybody does with their lives anymore. I used to be overly concerned because I thought my worldview was everybody's worldview, because when you're young and dumb, you're just young and dumb, right? Now I know that I don't know everything, can't control anything, only control myself, know who I am.
And you're okay being on the wrong side of somebody else's opinion. That 100%. Still doesn't disprove my theory.
It doesn't. Like I said, you were close. You're in the taint sort of rim region of the idea.
I've been like getting to know you, and it's funny when I get hauled out for being associated with you, I'm like, you have no idea who that man is, right? And it's happened to me too. I've had a similar situation in my career, right? Yeah. Where people, if you say my name out loud in a room, right? People that just know me from reputation, you're going to get an opinion of me that's not favorable.
No.
Right.
Well, it depends on who you ask, but I'm going to ask you this. You and I have known each other for 20 years, really kind of off and on 20 years. You were very different 20 years ago. I can't help it. I'm just a middle-aged snack. T-shirts available on the Dean Blundell Show. That's my shirt. It's all about me.
I want a shirt, by the way.
I'll get you one.
Okay.
What do you, because here's the thing, back then I was like, I gotta be a force, I just gotta go do this stuff. Very different now that I'm 51. 25, so take me back 25 years, how you're different now as a human being than you were then.
Dancing for the Raptors too, right?
What were you doing?
True. Yeah. 25 years ago I was a college student, way too young. Was dancing for the Raptors and still was a competitive figure skater at the time too. I was a national figure skater as well. So I was overly scheduled, super busy, very fit, and constantly tired.
Always tired.
But I was a softie. I was a small town girl. I had no street smarts whatsoever. I was the book smart girl, kind of lost in the big city all of a sudden. I mean, just simple things like going downtown just to a game. Was like, I grew up in Thornhill when Thornhill was farmland, so it was very, very different. I was a softie. I was a pushover. I was overly concerned about what people think. Did way too much for loved ones. Cried at the drop of a hat. I was just very soft. Yeah.
But that, you know, you go through me. Yeah, I know. She's such a sweetheart. And one of my favorite people in the world, too. So bright. But you like everybody else, right? You don't know yourself at like 23 to even 35 or 40. And everybody
40 and on gets so good.
I don't know if you know yourself at 50.
Well, it's always a work in progress. But my point is that what I thought back then was that everybody had to be subject to me, right?
Ooh, now what I know, which is different, is I get to enjoy my life experience with other people. Yes. As opposed to, I'm going to force myself into this situation. I'm going to be something to these people. I have this, because you don't know yourself. You don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time. If I could go back and slap Fat Dean across the face at like 28.
I miss
just that. Like, hey, dude, here's what you need to know. Here's what you need to know. You need to know how to respond to people properly. You need to learn how to deal with whatever trauma you had in your life. And you need to accept people for who they are. And you need to protect people who need protecting, and you need to give your privilege away to those who need it most. Had I gone back to myself in a time machine, Em, and said that to myself at 28, I'd probably still be here because I'm an idiot. However, I would have avoided so much. And no, I would have avoided so much if someone came to me.
If I went back and told 28-year-old Locke a bunch of rules, he'd go, fuck you.
He'd beat the shit out of you.
We're not going back and listening. I have zero regrets. Yeah. What I went through shaped me. I like who I am.
No. That's not, hey, dude. Yeah. And that's the thing is that you get to the point where you look at the journey, right?
Yeah.
Back and all the things that you did, where I admit to being an alcoholic and drinking too much, being a bad parent, all the things that you regret when you're at this age where you look back and you're like, there's some shit back there I need to deal with. There's some wreckage I got to deal with back there. And you, when you're young, you don't realize, maybe you don't have time for it, but it's those things where, to your point, Locke, and I'm glad you said it, that everybody looks back at now and you say, man, getting fired, I'm so grateful for it. The experience I had struggling in those early days of you starting your business, Em, I mean, are you at that point yet where you're like, you can look back and go, as much as I hated that time in my life and how I didn't know myself, you know yourself now. And that's what that struggle in your life gave you.
I wouldn't change a minute of it. I've never believed in regret. I think it's a piss waste of time. It's just never been part of my belief system. And I don't subscribe to the theory. So I think there's something to be said for, I wish it didn't take me so long to learn certain lessons.
Yeah.
Could have shaved, 3 years off a few experiences there. but beyond that, I'm exactly who I am and where I'm supposed to be because of all those things. It's strange when you get older and you get to kind of reflect on that stuff. But it's ironic. I feel like humans don't pass that genetically on. Like, we don't learn our lessons to a way that we evolve. Like permanently, it becomes these sayings we have, like, youth is wasted on the young, or if I knew then what I know now, like just generation after generation after generation after, we just keep saying that shit. Why don't we just teach it? Like, I have this theory that a turtle is born and knows where to go to the ocean, right? It doesn't need someone to tell it. And if there's a danger on the way, it genetically figures it out and knows to bypass, whatever threat is around so that it has the best chance of living its little ocean life. And it doesn't sit there with the mother going, oh, if they only knew what I know. it doesn't happen that way. Humans are almost resistant to physical evolution.
Listen, baby turtles, you're going to hate your life. Just stay in the sand. It sucks. That's the human perspective, right?
It is. Well, instead of just keep swimming.
I have a little bit of a different theory. I think that we actually negotiate our way through life.
Is there another rim job theory?
No, listen, right. I don't know what you guys are talking about, rim job. I fully penetrated my theory earlier, and I'm going to fully penetrate this theory as well. Now, listen, I think we go through life, and listen, I'm not suggesting you stop teaching your kids or passing on your privilege or whatever it is you think you need to do to give back. I don't think we share enough gratitude in this world, and I don't think we do enough to give back. And that's kind of my journey that I'm on right now. Now, I think you have to try to guide people, especially your kids or whatnot. But they also, and I said this countless times, and it also saved us a lot of time because I didn't really want to do the heavy lifting on the parenting side. But the kids are going to fucking learn on their own. You just got to give them the best sort of guide, like this way, right? And you know what? Like I never said to my daughters, you can't drink tonight. You can't do this. You know, the only real hard rules we had, because in Alberta, there's too many people that think they're fucking chemists. So you're at a party and some guy hands you a pill that he made in his garage in Red Deer, right? Because he fucking took 1 year of chemistry.
Garage Oxy? DIY Garage Oxy? That happens a lot.
Stay away from any fucking chemicals. Go drink. Go make your mistakes. Right. Do all that. You're gonna, I think we need to learn these things on our own. The Locker Room on Cryer Media West is brought to you by Ardent Roof Systems. Sign up for the annual Ardent Roof Systems charity golf tournament. Do that today. Spots are filling up. Early bird pricing in effect until May 1st. And there's still room for sponsors. Give Stacy a shout or drop me a line. I'll hook you up with Stacy. Friday, July 5th. At the Ranch Golf and Country Club, one of the best courses in Alberta, your 18-hole round includes breakfast, the famous ranch steak dinner, a massive silent auction, a lot of fun, and a chance to give back to a very worthy cause, the Stollery Child Life Program. This will be the fifth year, and to date, Stacy and Arden have raised over $65,000 for the Stollery. If you're looking for any info or you'd like to register yourself or your team, ardenroofsystems.com. We'll see you there. This is one of my favorite tournaments of the year.
The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by factcheck.io. Factcheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. factcheck.io. Back to the show. This is the
fucking
point.
Stupid. That's what we got to plow through life. And Emily, you could give me all the advice in the world. I'm probably going to make the same mistake, right?
Well, you
are right. So that's what I find ironic, right? Like, if we could make certain struggles easier on the next generation, wouldn't we not want to? And most evolutionary survival skills are based around the path of least resistance, the least danger, right? Would you not want that for your kids or your third generation down? And we don't pass on those struggles and what we learn. We instead just pass on the limericks and the old wives tales that go with it.
I think it's funny how when you get older, though, those limericks and old wives tales, to your point, like you look, life is a cliche when you get older. Like, easy does it.
They all make sense.
All you need is patience, right? Mm. Or like those little things. Yeah, I know you hate that one too. I do too. I don't like anybody telling me that I got to be what? I got to be patient. How dare you tell me what to fucking do?
We got to be on time.
Yeah.
We're all similar that way.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're self-employed. We can't work for other people. Be here at 9. How about go fuck yourself? How about you're fired?
How about agree to a time and then not show up at that time because you didn't think it was actually going to, but you didn't want to say anything because you didn't want
to. All right. Enough.
Says that to me all the time.
I know, because I know I can. So just relax.
The trauma dump from this morning.
Yeah, that's what it was. But the thing is that in our lives, in your life, right? In my life, we're talking.
I knew we'd get to my real trauma. Thank you, guys. I feel way better. This has been very helpful. You guys should charge for this.
Well,
we should.
We're thinking about it. But we make mistakes as people, right? As individuals, the only way that I have ever learned from anything is during dealing with the consequences of a mistake that I've made.
The hardest times,
And so when I go through, and I've been through a lot of therapy, I help guys with this stuff. Guys who get to that point in their lives where you've gotten to and I've gotten to, at some point where you go, all right, my best effort brought me to this shithole. What do I do now? Right. I'm unhappy. I'm miserable. I'm this guy. I'm angry at people. I'm shutting people out. My name's Lachlan. I mean, I didn't mean that last part. You say to yourself, hang on. And then you say to yourself, what am I doing? What do I do if I'm unhappy?
Right.
And then you go get help. which is what you should do, which is what everybody should do. You should go talk to a professional. You shouldn't go, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to have a couple cocktails. Probably not a great idea. Do what you got to do.
Working
for me. Or I'm going to go talk to my buddy Bert, who's a plumber, about what I'm going through mentally. No, Bert's not qualified. He's a pipe fitter and a plumber. You don't talk to him. You go get help. But the biggest thing that I've realized, and this is the difference, it's the perception of my life. It's not my life itself, right? It's how I look at dealing with these things. And because now I know that in infinite struggle, in failure, some people call it failure, that failure is meant to test you. Fail to test. Mm-hmm. It's science. That's how they came up with electricity, light bulbs, medicine, all the really important shit. It is a standard work process that you are not exempt from in your own life. And what we do is we fatalize failure to the point where we're like, ah, fuck it. I don't even want to bother. I'm just going to hide under the covers. That is not good. And that is what happens until you change your perspective of what failure in your life really means and how important that failure is to you becoming the fucking rock star that you want to be. To my point. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Now, I'm here all week. I want to make a comment and listen, this.
Then we can get on to fetish week.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want this to make it sound like I don't think it. If you decide that you need therapy, go gangbusters. Like I'm not anti-therapy from that perspective. I have the same feeling about religion or politics. If you want to vote one way, I'm not going to pick my friends based on how they vote. I think if you are in a religion and it's your choice, you shouldn't be coming to my door to tell me what kind of religion. I pick my friends
based on their religion too, actually. So I'm
okay. I don't. I could be in a room. I don't just care.
Just the politics one for me.
Politics one's a little harder to digest lately. Yeah. Okay. Now
I have to for me. It affects my life drastically.
Yes, that's fair. Again, perspective. We've been talking about this for the last month. Perspective. It's interesting to hear where they come from and how they get to the decisions they make on a daily basis. No, for me, I am not going to therapy. Now, here's why. I learned a long fucking time ago that I probably have some kind of you could probably sit down and diagnose me with something.
You know, you're just going to undo everything Emily and I just said for 30 minutes.
Listen, this needs to be said out loud because there's a lot of people driving around listening to this right now and they're in their truck and they need the opposite opinion of this. Listen, Jerry, if you're fucking okay with your life and who you are and you're happy and you're not a miserable sack of shit,
giver.
You fucking giver. Yes, exactly. That's a great word. I'm going to steal that.
Totally.
Giver. Don't worry.
You just said if you're happy. Yeah, yeah. I wasn't happy. So I had to change my perspective and change my life.
You're different than everybody. You're different. You needed to get to that next step. You needed someone to pull you over the line. Even though you knew where the fucking line was and you knew what the person was going to say the line was, you still needed to be grabbed by the dick and pulled along. There's a lot of people that pull their own dicks and they're fine. They get to that next level.
That's true.
If I may.
Yes, please. Go ahead. All this dick pulling, we need someone without one. Thank you.
I need a drink.
You do. You really do. A drink and a joint.
Yeah, yeah.
Great. Some yoga. Let's do it. No, I think I don't think it's about the therapy, but I think there are some people that get in resistance of growth because they do think they're happy. They do think they're fine. They think, well, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But I think there is, like Dean said, there's no exemption to the lessons that your soul is meant to learn in this lifetime. There's no way to get out of that. And you could choose to be a hamster, staying on a wheel, just running the same course, wondering, why does this keep happening to me? Or you can go through the hard shit to learn the lessons. And I'm convinced that once you learn a certain amount of lessons here, you don't need to be here anymore. So off you go to whatever you may believe is next. And so you can make your life really long by staying on that hamster wheel and denying what life keeps showing you in different circumstances over and over. Why does this keep? Because.
But Emily, no one's going to get to that point where they need to take that next step, whatever it means, unless they make that decision themselves. And that was what 100%. I was trying to do by helping Jerry out. Jerry, if he's ever going to get to a point where he stops drinking six beer in his garage every night and ignoring his family and his kids and
is your middle name Jerry?
No, it's Jay.
All right.
Jerry, you're okay until you figure it out.
You're Jerry.
I'm Jerry. I am way past Jerry. Jerry and I could go for a beer or six. Garage.
Yeah, I know. I know. Emily, thank you. This is what I'm saying. Not only is she really good at talking about like existential issues and evolutionary psychology, it's Fetish Week in news, by the way. I just want to point that out. Can we go through some of this, please? You and I talk a little bit about fetishes and kinks. Muse Massage Spa, one of our tremendous partners. 1290 Finch Avenue West, Canada's number one body rub parlor. And sexologist, you got a podcast called Muse on the Mic. I encourage everybody to go and download the uncensored Patreon version as well as YouTube. Explain Fetish Week, because it's actually Fetish Month, but you split it up into weeks. Mm-hmm. I love that you do this.
What's that? Put that back up. Morning Glory. Yeah. If you're there from 9 to 11, you save $10.
I love it. Hey, in promo. Okay, Fetish Week of Muse, take us through it. What do you got going? What do you got cooking?
I write all those, by the way, so that's my morning glory joke right there.
Was it you?
Emily,
I couldn't resist it. It was too cute. Fashion Fetish is one of our most popular monthly promos that we do. We do it at least once a year, sometimes twice. And it's a different theme week each week, basically. And it goes off people's fantasies and fetishes. And it goes across the board. This week, we're doing leather and lace this week. We've got office week. We've got a sports week. Mm-hmm. We've done schoolgirl week. We've done nurses and maids and 911 vibes. We've done jeans week. We do girl next door, college co-eds, cheerleaders, you name it. We'll just come up with it. And the girls have so much fun.
Can we talk about the 911 fetish too?
We did that after the pandemic. It was awesome. We wanted to thank all the first responders because everyone got to dress up like firemen or police officers or nurses, and the Halloween costumes come out. It's just a slut fest. It's great.
That's amazing. So you paid tribute during the pandemic to first responders by doing.
All first responders got a discount too when they came in. It was amazing.
Did your first responders take you up on it? Do you have some people come in uni and go, "Hey, listen, just don't tell anybody I was here from the department."
We have corporate accounts with unions. I don't fuck around, team. If anyone has a large company that would like to arrange it, hit me up in my DMs on Twitter.
A corporate account. So you have corporate accounts for certain unions that represent certain.
School boards, unions, some fire stations, you name it.
Can I ask you a question? Do you have any Catholic school board corporate accounts here?
Do, 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 do.
I love this world so much. It's so awesome.
So much hypocrisy.
You're killing me.
No, you're helping me. I am really happy. Listen,
I come from a corporate sales background, so that's what I know.
I love you so much.
Fetish Week. We sell packages. We have repeat member programs. We have referral programs. We have all kinds of stuff.
You got it all. If you want to get involved, listen, just a quick heads up. This is one of the smartest business women I know. Her and Riley run an extremely successful organization and operation. So if you are looking to become a Muse, you want to get into the business, you want to be an affiliate, hit Emily up, go to the contact portion of their brand new webpage, musemassagespa.com, and check it out. Can I just ask you a couple more questions? And not about the corporate accounts. I'll ask you about that off the air where you'll tell me names and stuff. No, you won't, because you never do. So you've got leather and lace week. That's the first week of April. Okay, so I get that.
The next one is neon week.
I can do the lace.
Is it neon week? That's the next one. What do we got?
I think it's neon, like 80s vibes, anything that glows, black light. The girls are going to set up their rooms with all kinds of lights and stuff. It's going to be really cute. Sports week. Sports is going to be players, coaches, referees, or cheerleaders.
Yeah, okay.
Nighttime but they get a different promo each week, too.
So do women get dressed up in these things during that week? Then that's the deal. Okay, ladies.
The girls are all in theme.
All right. All theme girls. So the first week of April is Fetish Week. If you're in the leather stuff, that's great. Morning Glory. You can get in there.
Just don't put a Habs jersey on any of them. Nobody will get a boner.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Every single girl there has to wear a Leaf uniform or no one will get arrested.
Oh, that's too much disappointment.
One of my staff had a client get up and leave a session when she admitted she was a Leaf fan.
Oh, that's awesome.
The DJ's record screeched. He got up and he put on his pants.
I'm not going to be able to do this.
He was done.
I have known men like that.
Hang on. There's a reason that gentleman was at the spa that day. It's because
he was an Ottawa fan. It was predictable. He was like, deal breaker, I'm out.
Dude, can you imagine?
Keep the money. I'm leaving.
That much of a fucking hockey loser. Like, I know a lot.
It was hilarious. Hilarious.
Could you imagine spending a couple hundred dollars to have a therapeutic massage with a beautiful woman, and you get there and you're like, you a hockey fan? And she goes, yeah, I'm a big Habs fan. And he goes, fuck this.
Wow. And he puts his I might be able to leave after that too.
Yeah. It was hilarious.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
so. My advice to the girls is be sporty, but don't be sport specific or team specific because you don't want to piss people off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
money. Well, politics laced in like football. Yeah, let's not do it. Yeah.
You a hockey fan?
Are you?
Sports donkeys, I tell you.
Yeah, the worst rubber tuggers ever.
It's really fun. The clients love it. It's fun when they like walk in, meet the girls, and see all the outfits. They're like, "Oh, you guys really did it!" We're like, "Yeah, they go all out." Yeah.
Well, it's like dress up and then some, right? You're like, right? Okay, listen, if you got an office fetish, it's like the week after.
Yeah, the sexy secretary.
Yeah, you walk in, she's got her little skirt on, the glasses and stuff.
Secretary,
like that.
I could get into.
I'd do that. I'd do secretary week. Yep. I don't know if I'd do sports donkey week. I would do leather and lace week. Don't know if I would do.
I couldn't do sports donkey week. There's no way.
I was looking at some other fetishes that you.
Okay. What'd you find?
I found some interesting ones.
What did you find? Tell me.
Abrasion philia, it's called. It's a subcategory of BDSM that gets people feeling aroused by getting scratched.
Makes sense.
Do that one. What week is that?
I mean, that would necessarily wouldn't be a theme week. It would more be like so and so now offers.
We're not going to do a whole week on that one.
But I can tell you where it stems from.
What's that?
It's amazing the things you find in childhood that could be hurtful, but you find pleasureful, like spanking, for example, right? Some kids don't necessarily cry when they skin their knees or get carpet burn, or their mom scratches their back before bed and it always feels nice. Like, depending on what kind of abrasion you're talking about, it all stems from childhood.
That's bizarre. Easy. That's weird.
Easy. No, most fetishes are developed in the first 5 years of your life.
All right. Is he sure that's not Freud? He was on heroin a lot. Yeah. Couple other ones that you should maybe consider. Anesthemophilia. It's an arousal to a person of extreme stature, a giant or a dwarf. So if you can get like a 7-footer. Okay.
I know a little person.
This one's interesting. Climacophilia. It's an arousal to watching people fall down the stairs.
That's hilarious.
That is
hilarious.
That's a real one.
Some people sat around watching America's Funniest Home Videos way too much as a child, for sure.
A friend of mine's
they
mom
found
Steve-O
attractive. They went down a whole Jackass route. Ridiculousness is recorded on their PDR.
Look at it. Look at the picture that they comes with the explanation. Climacophilia. Arousal to falling down the stairs. Guys like laying
rubbing
down
it
the
out.
Stairs. There's people up there watching, just jerking it.
Just bonered.
I had a boss who used to, every time someone died, like if you go to him and go, hey, I got to get some time off. My grandmother died. He'd burst out laughing and you'd be like, I swear to
like
God,
a child.
He couldn't stop laughing. If you, so he was like, anytime anybody asks,
that's a disorder, dude. That's one of those disorders that people have where it's like where they hear something sad and they get so sad that the opposite reaction comes out. So
right.
Like, I know people like my son is actually a little bit like that, my eldest.
anytime he hears like really bad news or something terrible happens, he starts laughing. You could go up to him and go, "Hey, dude, I'm getting my right leg amputated." He'd be like, "I feel terrible for you."
I mean, kids go through a phase like that where they get in trouble too, right? Where they awkward laugh and giggle through it.
Yeah,
I cry when I'm really, really happy. So it goes both ways.
Do you really? Oh,
yeah.
Well, I can't wait.
Show me a Christmas commercial. A Christmas commercial will get me every time.
My buddy's mother, they caught her one time. We were in high school and we were in the mall and someone fell down the stairs and she was standing there laughing at them and we had to go get her. I'm like, "Did you know?" I said to my buddy, Andrew, I'm like, "Did you know about this?" And he goes, no, I had no idea. I had no idea. This is all new." She admitted to it later in the car on the way home that anytime she ever seen anybody fall or take a spill, it would make her laugh.
Uncontrollable. Yeah, so that's just considered a disorder. These are like sexual kinks, like coprophilia, arousal to feces. Sounds terrible. Cuckolding. We dealt with that yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a female partner sleeping with another man to humiliate her male partner while he is aware of
very popular.
Is it?
It's very popular.
People there.
I had no idea. Until a couple of years ago, I had no idea that was a thing. And then I was very confused about who initiated it. Like,
yeah, can you explain to me the rules of cuckolding real quick?
The videos I watch.
Yeah, I know.
The rules could vary, right? Everyone has their own boundaries and what have you. But the premise, the most simplistic form of it, is husband's in the corner. He's not allowed to participate. There may or may not be allowances on him jacking off, watching his wife be with someone else. And more often, the request is that the someone else have a bigger dick than the husband. It can also jam into some racial and age play and all kinds of fun stuff.
Okay.
If the cuck is dominant, it could be because he's instructing it to happen, like you're going to get fucked. Or if he's submissive, it might be you're going to watch this and you're going to like it.
What if he's reading the Times?
And uninterested.
And he's just a watcher?
No, he's reading the Times. He's not watching.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that could be so part of the like dominant play, because if she's trying to make her dom happy, she's trying to do good for daddy. And daddy's like, "I'm bored." And he's just reading his Forbes mag. She got to try harder. She's got to perform more. You're not doing enough.
Wow. I got to get more.
Okay, so is the intention then of cuckolding?
Yeah.
And this is my ignorance. Pardon me. Is the intention of cuckolding that the one spouse that's getting it, so in this case, the female.
Choosing him. Him. No, he's. It's his fetish or kink.
It's his. No, but he wants to be cuckolded, right? Is that? Am I getting this right?
Yeah,
but the request or the intrigue or the fetish could be on either side.
But is he supposed to not like it, or is he supposed to pretend that is he supposed to really not want this?
If
the turn on, maybe
pretend that he doesn't want it. That's the question.
If he's the submissive of either the session, the play, or the relationship, then that's when like kind of the humiliation comes in, and he's not supposed to like it in that regard. If she's like, "Oh, this is so much better than when you fuck me with that little dick," that's very different from, you know, the BBC that comes in and throws it down till her back's broken. And then he feels less than the rest of the time. But a lot of people are aroused by things that are controversial.
Yeah, but is that so less the more than that he feeling feels part shitty, of the kink? Yeah, that's a question.
Yeah, but the more he feels shitty, the harder his dick will probably be.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's for him a lot of times.
Who the fuck?
How is
that possible?
The retro replay yesterday was all about this.
Pain and pleasure is a very fine line. Pain and pleasure is a very fine line. It's why anything taboo is very erotic. Because you're not your instinct is you're not supposed to be excited by seeing your wife get nailed. But what if all of a sudden you're in your mind thinking this is crazy, but your dick is like, "Woo!" It's a little bit confusing. You don't know that.
No, I do know that. I 100% know that.
I'm pretty much sure of it too.
Or even if the thing gets like, it's like, "Hey, I want to be this, you know, what do you think?" I'd be like,
"Right,
no, no, I can't." Not only do I not like,
but what if she looked really fucking hot and you're like, "This is better than any porno I've ever seen in my life. Like, look how gorgeous my wife is right now. Just taking dick."
Yeah, but I'm literally right there. Like, yeah. I'm right there.
But you don't get to be the observer when you're right there. All of a sudden now you have VIP seating. And what if you're like, holy shit, look at her. No,
when I am right there, I can open my eyes and watch it. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I'm there, I can right. see.
But
like,
that's POV. Need...
Okay, that's yeah, different. We know this isn't your kink, Dean.
I don't even understand. Like, when you're explaining it to me, I'm trying to understand. Is the
I'm
guy...
Convinced I'm convinced you have hidden guy, kinks that you don't
guy,
know about.
The guy wants...
No, but the guy wants this is what I'm saying.
I like, had no idea what this
guy like, wants to feel...
He wants
like his
the,
wife
he wants,
is,
the
he wants to feel terrible about himself.
Yeah.
That's what makes his
I don't think it's that he I mean, we don't want to make the man suicidal, right? We don't want him to feel so bad about
yeah,
himself
if that gives you
he's,
a boner,
he's gonna
that's
die.
What I'm saying. If that gives you a boner, then you got some mental issues.
But humiliation does give a lot of people arousal. It could be the same as being told you're a bad boy or you're a dirty slut. Like originally, we're not supposed to call people those kinds of things, right? But if you're a pervert when you're fucking me a certain way and we're just playing that game that day, it can be super arousing. I mean, it's not really kosher to call people daddy either, but people find it hot, including me. So, you know, call someone a bad little girl. It doesn't mean it literally.
Do you think
that's the play.
Do you think after cuckolding week, you could do gerontophilia week?
We do cuckolding sessions.
We can
do them with our couple sessions. Yeah. Okay. If someone doesn't want to participate and they want to be the watcher, that's right. super easy to do in a couple session, man or woman. It's happened both ways where they sit in the corner and they just want to watch him get his service or watch her get a massage and get a body.
Do you provide the dude or do they have to bring the dude in?
They come in as a couple.
The male rubber.
They come in as a couple.
Bring in the lefty from the bullpen.
We don't have one. No.
Hey,
they come
Juan,
in as a couple.
Get in here.
Here's an interesting question. Hey, Juan. Yeah. Here's an interesting question. Are there males? And I'm only asking you this because it's like, okay, we just introduced a guy to the equation here. Are there male right. rub and tug strip joints?
There are in general, not straight ones. There's gay ones.
Oh,
there's gay and queer massage. Well, and massage parlors as well, not licensed body rub, but they operate either holistic or unlicensed. Same setup, massage tables.
Sure.
Massage and a hand job that usually leads to a lot more
for the straighties. There's no like
for like women to get men to massage them. No, it's funny because guys often when I talk to like a stranger and they ask what I do and I bring it up and they're like, oh, I've always wanted to open one of those for women, and I'm like, it doesn't work that way. Sorry, because they envision it. Like they would want it to be, which is the client's experience, right? It's not going to be a bunch of hot broads showering you with money, being like, please lick my pussy and let me go home afterwards. It's not going to happen that way.
I was listening to a podcast. I can't even remember what it was.
Hang on.
They were telling a story.
Is it sort of like the people that go topless? Province shouldn't, the same way that if you open up an all-male rub and tug.
It's like logging into people of Walmart.
People's Walmart.
Okay.
I remember listening to this podcast, and this story was quite funny. This husband was talking about his wife, and she came home after a massage therapy and went, "You're not going to believe what happened." This one guy was promoted through this friends group, and everybody went to him, and she thought, "Oh, well, he's a great masseuse." So she finally took their advice and went, and he tried to do something to her, and she's like, "Hey," and he's like, "What? this is what I do." She phoned the place and complained, and the owner was like, "We've never had anyone complain about whatever his name was, Juan. We'll call him Juan."
Right.
So
call him Juan.
So it was well known between all those friends group.
Dude, that's a big thing. Like there are a lot of registered, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. No,
this was in the States, Emily.
I know two. Okay, I'll just tell you. I know two women.
Okay.
They both have they're different masseuses, mm-hmm. but that was introduced into the masseuse patient relationship a couple of months in, and as an offer. And the offer meant extra money. And these two lovely ladies pay for it, enjoy it. He leaves. Women are no different than us, I think, sometimes. That's what I think.
In some respects, there was a bit of a TikTok trend of these videos going around of men, like RMTs or whatever, giving very erotic massages to women, acting like this was a popular service. And of course, the comment section goes crazy. The, you know, housewives are like, where do I get this? Men are like, this is bullshit. I'm never sending my wife for a massage again. And they're like freaking out. And then lo and behold, it came out that two of the most popular accounts, it was all an act. It was paid, like friends were paid to be in these little videos. And it was just like a ruse. It was just a thing to get views and make money off of TikTok. But a lot of men thought, oh, great, I can do this, and have started a business. Some of them struggle to get clients. Some of them don't. I guess it depends on what they look like and what their skills are. But for most RMTs, like registered massage therapists, it's a risk to their license and therefore their career if they offer sexual services. Now, if they're not registered, sure, then they're no different than any other massage parlor, massage girl, independent worker out there. The irony is, though, is that for hot women, if you're good looking and you're gorgeous, instead of paying a man $300 to do exactly that, you could make $300 and do exactly that. So why wouldn't you just work in one? It makes no sense.
Interesting. You've life hacked this. You've turned these women's dirty little massage secrets into a golden opportunity to pad their revenue.
I'm the asshole that goes in the comment section and I'm like, meanwhile, my staff get paid $360 for this service. My DMs blow up.
360? I mean, for like an hour?
It depends on the service.
Are you sure you don't need a guy? 51, Arctic blonde, 360 an hour.
Middle-aged
silver fox.
That's what you could call. You could call the service.
No, but I'm serious.
Like middle-aged snack.
Emily, rub downs.
I'm Dundee, and I just got this stupid t-shirt.
You do one of these. I just got a rubby from Dino. And
by the way, is the Dean deal still available at Muse?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
What you have to do is get into her DMs. That's all you got to do. Her
DM us on any platform. Yeah. Tell us you heard us on the Dean Blundell show. And it's $50 off any 45-minute session.
And discreet. They'll meet you where you need to be met. They'll bring you in whatever door you want to be brought into.
It's therapeutic. This is what people don't understand. Like, we have fun. Emily likes to turn it into a thing with, like, you know, race car
today
bed
was
week.
A good show. Like, it would, like, we learned some stuff.
I have one more treat for you guys because I came with two Eclipse sex facts for you.
Yeah, because hang on, before we go, the eclipse is tonight. No, so it's Monday, right?
Monday night, yeah.
I don't know if you guys have read about it. We're apparently not going to be able to see it in this area of the world.
Oh, boo. I thought we were going to get a good shot.
Well, I did too.
You were too. Niagara Falls was going to be like...
Oh, fuck. They declared a state of emergency in Niagara Falls a week ago. Did you hear about this?
I heard that.
Yeah, because of this. Because they were worried...
Honest to God, state of fucking emergency in Niagara Falls. They're like, it's going to be too many people here. What are we going to do?
Yeah,
because everything's booked. It's just such a woke ass thing to do. Just kidding. But to your point, I'm just going to read this to you. This is unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm not interested in this at all.
That they're worried the weather forecast for the solar eclipse in Ontario. Is gonna suck. Bitter rains and the threat of snow this week. Obviously, we got some yesterday. We're getting our first total eclipse, and Kingston, Brockville, kind of that corridor from southern Ontario all the way up, are like on this perfect path. And apparently, most of it is going to be covered by. And the only time you're going to see this in 400 years. Look at that dork with those glasses on. He's so
I saw a funny meme.
It's better than the orange dork who just stared right at it last time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Trumpy.
I saw a funny meme and it was talking about the eclipse and it was saying every year that this comes out, you're told that it's never going to happen again for 400 years. And then a fucking year later, we're talking about the next eclipse that we're never going to see for 400 years.
Not only every time. Not only they told us that this is never going to happen for 400 years, and I've seen three of them, so apparently it has. They're also warning you to keep your pet safe during the eclipse.
Yeah, because they shouldn't look at it either, right? I think that's the point.
What happens to your eyes? Does it burn your retinas or something? I
think your dick falls off.
Guy question.
Something like that.
Okay.
All right. With guys, your dick falls off. With girls,
I couldn't tell you.
As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter if it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FACTCHEK.io. FACTCHEK.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for their beta test, FACTCHEK.io.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know, and he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
With guys, your wiener falls off. And it was funny because I said to my significant other, I'm like, what are the chances we connect during the eclipse?
Canoodle, yeah.
What are the chances we canoodle during the eclipse? And we're like one of those people that can say, what were you doing during the eclipse? We were canoodling.
We were canoodling.
And I got this one. No.
No? No coitus for you. No eclipse coitus.
Yeah.
Well, there seems to be mixed opinions.
Okay.
Because I Googled this last night because you told me about it. And I was well, wait a second. In Hindu folklore, they say don't do it because there's so much additional energy, solar energy, and all the things that happen with an eclipse, the magnets and all the stuff, that you're almost too open at that point. There's too much energy going on in the world. The last thing you should be doing is energy exchange with somebody else. However, astrologists and psychics disagree with that theory and think if you're coming through a new phase, which is usually what a lunar eclipse is about, that you should be in the throes of passion when that happens. So you carry that energy through the retrograde that we're in right now. And I was like, I would like to see that fought over Jell-O.
I'm going to need to go. I got to smoke some weed.
That's and always my solution.
Interesting. So losers that don't know
start
anything
growing
about this,
my own herbs.
The spirituals, if you will, are like mm-hmm. it's bad for your energy if you have sex because you put too much into the world. By the way, that makes
no
physical sense. Don't you want all the energy? Yes, you do. So you get all the energy. So you should do it.
Penetrative intercourse is an energy exchange.
Yes, it is.
So there's lots.
Not the way I do it.
Wow.
Not the way I do it. There's very little energy exchange. It's like, okay.
He's on his back.
Oh, Lord.
Am I sweating? Do you see a bead of sweat? My back sweating. Can you,
I'm
51. You're gonna need to do the majority of the work here.
So back to that. So they're saying too much energy might make you crazy, so don't have sex. Is that the idea? They don't want people going nuts.
The premise being that there's already too much shifts in, like, you know how all the people that go to, like, Stonehenge for a solstice and all those things, all about solar energy and lunar stuff and then the magnets and all these weird.
I'm not big into
that kind of stuff, but whatever.
Like I found the two sides. The chakra and the crystals and the energy and the thing.
Right. You're already almost in a vulnerable state. So you shouldn't be engaging in that. If anything, you should be mindful, you should be restful, and you should meditate with the earth and the energy at that point. Yeah, the other flip coin is the astrology side. That's like, no, get to it. Do, be in the throes of passion, right? And that orgasmic energy and those good feels and good vibes will stay with you for a certain amount of time.
There's the eight limbs of Team Astrology. Of yoga.
I know what I'm doing.
Emily, there's the eight limbs of yoga theory, the yamas and the niyamas. And there is one section in there about sex.
Called the wiener. Is it called the wiener?
It starts with an E. I can't pronounce it.
It has an E in it. It's wiener, I believe.
No, it starts with an E. And there is like constant disagreement on what it means. Cause it's one of the eight limbs where you're not supposed to do it, right? There's like the four you're supposed to do and the four you're not supposed to do.
It's gotta be
and
wiener.
It's under abstinence, but the community can't even agree on whether or not it means get it on, right? So this conversation is very similar to that conversation, and it's interesting that you sort of in your Google search ended up on the Hindu side of the equation.
I was curious, like, what's the mojo behind this? Is there like a taboo? Is there a stigma? Is there some, like, you know, conspiracy theory? I was like, well, what do people think about, you know, orgasm at the peak of like, there's got to be something cosmic happening there. So I dug in a little bit.
That would be really good planning if you can do that.
Yeah. Listen,
right at the moment of the eclipse.
Listen, if you're skilled enough, you could do that.
Well, I'm going to give it the old college try.
Hey, I can talk you through it. Here, guys, this is what you're going to do. And then you're going to.
And then you're going to grab it. You're going to lift up the thing. And then
pull twice, stare at the moon.
That's when you grab the battery cables. Because it is fetish week.
It is.
Emily, Muse on the Mic, name of your podcast. What's on your podcast this week? What do you and Riley have for us this week? By the way,
oh, goodness. My memory. Wednesday on the Patreon, we dropped an episode about masturbation, which is hilarious. We do our first ever toy review, and we tell our personal stories about the first time we ever masturbated. It gets really spicy. It's weird. It's
That's
really
the uncensored
weird.
Uncensored Patreon. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You got to subscribe.
I don't know if I remember.
Subscribe and you got to pay for it. It's greasy and saucy. And it is very, very funny. And it is very honest and open. And you educate. You've also got a YouTube version that you take some of the grease out of, which is.
We do a little snippet for everybody that we call small potatoes that we'll put on our YouTube channel. So you get a little preview. A few little small potatoes, and then you have to go get the whole baked potato from Patreon.
With sour cream and bacon bits.
Loaded.
Make sure you download the podcast. Make sure you subscribe anywhere you Muse on the Mic, podcast. Muse Massage Parlor, Dean, the Dean Deal. Just ask them for the Dean Deal or Riley for the Dean Deal. Get in their DMs. Go to the contact section of their brand new beautiful webpage. Check out the Muses. Check out the schedule. Check out the weeks. But more importantly, download and subscribe. Make sure you take advantage. These girls are awesome human beings on top of being educators and advocates. Great communicators. Emily, very entertaining. Always love great it. To have you, my love.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you.
Good to see you, Em.
We'll see you next.
Muse Massage Spa, 1290 Finch Avenue West. I learn a lot from her. I enjoy her. She's awesome. She's fun.
I do like her. Yeah.
You know what it is? No judgment. Is it, we can live in a judgment-free world. Wouldn't that be nice?
She's also on the pleaser side of the equation in my theory. She definitely wants people to be happy. It runs a business that pleases people.
Ben, specifically, actually.
Yeah. So. And that's not a bad thing, right? Like, could you imagine me as a teacher? Like, teaching high school? No, it just doesn't work.
Dude, you'd be arrested for murder before spring break.
I don't know if I'd make it to Labor Day. I'm not even kidding you. I've said this before, and I'm not encouraging violence on the youth of today, but there is no chance in hell that I would be able to sit in a classroom with a bunch of 12, 13-year-old kids and not choke the life out of one of them within, I'd say, 2-3 days.
So it's really strong.
Whenever I hear, honestly, whenever I hear anybody talking about teachers needing more money or wanting more money, I'm like, give them all the money. Give them every, like, if you're mad at teachers, I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't know. Show us on the doll where the teacher touched you, because it's serious. Seriously, the worst thing that I see all the time, teachers and nurses, they're mad at teachers and nurses.
I'll tell you what, that doll.
Enough money.
No, they're right. But that doll that you speak of would get a hard workout at a Catholic school. Anyway, before we get to that, I want to quickly bring something to everybody's attention. Saw this video before we get to the locker room retro replay of the day.
Yeah.
Which is a good one, brought to you by our friends at Art and Roofing Systems. Listen, sometimes I like to give a PSA here for the fellas, right? You know, we started talking today in the podcast about personal responsibility, self-awareness, the perception of life when you go through hard things. We've been
doing that a little bit lately.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to help people. I'm going to help them again with a little aesthetic. Okay.
Okay.
This is important. Now, I know I have a full, luscious head of Arctic blonde hair. I get it.
Thin.
No, it's not good.
You're going from a forehead to a six head, at least.
Yeah, no, it's going back into just the fox ears. And, dude, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. I'm not trying to hide it.
You should start putting advertising on that.
I don't comb. Yeah, okay, take your hat off for a second. We'll see who has the bigger billboard.
I got an eight head.
It's not even close. But I'm letting this do what it does. I'm not trying to fool anybody with it. I'm not getting created with gel and a comb.
You're very lucky.
Yeah, very fortunate, beautiful hair, middle-aged snack. Everything's great. This gentleman's 30. I'm going to play a video.
30. Okay.
And this goes out to every man, George Springer, center fielder, right fielder for the Toronto Blue Jays included. Hits leadoff, by the way. They need to fucking pick it up. Bad start to the season.
Same thing happened last year, didn't it?
Yeah. If you have this type of thinning, ridiculous hair, stop trying to fool everybody. Don't do the comb over. Don't do the paint. Everyone still knows. Case in point, let's watch this together.
Do the paint. Part two. He was tired of everyone telling him to go bald. So he told me to save him. He paid me $150 for this haircut. I was nervous for his reaction at the end.
Can you see what he's saving here?
Man.
Here comes the airbrush. The old airbrush hair on the scalp. Gotta make a border. And you gotta somehow cut whatever's going on back there. And you gotta try to make it look like it's blended in. Yeah, you gotta shave the entire forehead because the hair migrates into your eyeball. Leaves your face. And there you go. And as I watch this gentleman try to, like, he gave someone $150 for this, and then he puts on a little hair dust
thickener,
and then he puts on some black hairspray, and the end product is just as stupid, if not worse, than when he walked in and paid $150 for that hair. Lachlan Cross, thank you for not being him. Please tell your other friends. Don't
started losing my hair when my first daughter came along, 27. I panicked. I had no idea how to be a father. I've never really thought that was going to be something that I excelled at, and I proceeded to lose my hair immediately, and it just made its way back. It's kind of stopped. I don't shave my head, and I'll tell you why, because I've done it a couple of times and I don't think the look is that appealing. Like I look like I've got a natural childbirth shaped head. Like it's, you can tell someone pulled me out. There may have been some pushback. So I got a just visiting.
You got vagina shaped head.
And so when I go bald, I just look like a knob, like a complete knob. So I keep a little bit of hair. And then once every couple of weeks, I just trim it right down.
You're fine. You don't have to go totally bald, because what you're not doing is creating an optical illusion with 38 hairs.
No.
Right.
I feel bad for guys that lose, like they look like this at 22.
I don't.
I don't. And I'll tell you why I don't. Because you're not going to beat it, like, ever.
No, you can't.
And trying to beat it, you're gonna spend maybe $100,000 if you want to do it naturally. The hair plugs, everyone knows, never do those.
The rug,
stop it. Are you kidding me right now?
Every time you walk down the street,
everybody's staring at you when you walk by. You look legitimately like you have a beaver pelt on your head. We all know.
Absolutely. You're totally right. It's good advice. It actually is decent advice for people.
For my fellas out there today, I just want to tell the fellas, just let it go. Yeah. You lost. It's not your fault. You know, I got my eldest guy, he's starting to go thin right here. He's 26 years younger than me. I'm like, it's all good, dude. Don't worry. And you know what he said to me? He goes, I don't give a shit. Good, I'm going to rock this pool cue. I'm like, attaboy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know why? Some
guys look good, bald.
I raised him right. He looks great, bald.
Anyway, yeah. See, you got good looking kids.
Yeah, I do. You do too. We both do. Yeah. Congratulations.
My daughters did not get any of their looks from me. They just got all my crazy, which is.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's a whole nother conversation. We'll bring him back for that.
Yeah, Trank, unpack some things. Speaking of which, let's unpack today's locker room retro replay of the day, brought to you by Arden Roofing Systems. Lachlan Cross, what do we have today?
We used to do this thing, and this is one of the first times we ever did it. We used to slow Jimmy down, and I tried it on my voice. I tried it on Grant's voice. I tried it on Phil. We met Phil last week. Mm-hmm. I tried it on George. It never really worked, but for whatever reason, it's Jimmy's delivery or his tone or this. It just works so well. So this is one of the first times, I think it might've been the first or second time that we slowed Jimmy down. Here it is.
The Locker Room Retro Replay.
For those of you who do not know, James P. White, our little buddy on the show, didn't have a traditional path in radio. In order to give him a little bit of time on his own so he can gain some confidence as a broadcaster, Boss was nice enough. We kind of berated him into it as well.
You kind of forced him into this.
Yeah. We gave him a show on Saturday and Sunday nights, midnight to 2 a.m. So he does a voice track.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't come in at midnight on Saturday nights.
He's not here live, no.
No. Monday or Tuesday when we come back, we take a cut from his weekend performance, mm-hmm. and then we do a quick little air check.
We just give it a listen.
Yeah.
I did get some Snapchats of people listening to the James P. White Experience on the weekend, by the way. Yeah.
Why?
That's, what is wrong with you people?
It's a great show.
People get drunk and then make terrible choices, right?
That's a good point. No good decisions are made after midnight. So this is a clip from your Saturday show?
Yes.
Okay, and you're talking about your love of chess.
This is Not Ready for Primetime with James P. White.
Today is National Chess Day. When I was a kid, I used to play checkers with my dad, and then he taught me how to play chess.
You really sound drunk.
I really love playing the game.
You played at normal speed instead of slowing it down.
We didn't touch this.
A chess master, but I do enjoy the game. And don't forget, coming up at noon today, from noon till 6, we have full volume with Derek Allen. You definitely don't want to miss that.
I always leave the pauses in, too. All right. Nice work, Jimmy.
Honestly, we would get guys, they'd be driving in and they'd hear something that we did on the show and something Jimmy said, and they'd go, you got to slow that down. And we would literally, I'd go into the logger and I'd rip it out and I'd slow it down and play it back. That, and we did that 100 times and Jimmy hated it every time.
No shit.
And it was, I tried to do Grant and I, even when I thought that we kind of messed up something, mm-hmm. I tried, but
you didn't sound as disabled as he did.
When
you
did it to him. It became a thing on the show. Yeah.
Can't imagine how he's doing now after that. Does he need counseling?
Did you get him some counseling after you did that to him?
No? Give me some time to talk about that if you don't.
All right. Gonna have to go back and undo years. He's just literally waking up just hearing his slow voice in his head with nightmares after a break like that. Like, I used to wake up all the time when I was on the radio.
Yeah.
I would wake up literally to the nightmare of not being able to talk. You ever do this? You wake up in a dream, you'd have a nightmare that you were talking and nothing would come out of your mouth. And then the other dream I would have all the time when I was on the radio, because it was just like chaos and stress and anxiety all the time. And that never had dreams. It never ends. And I would wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat because all the music was gone. All the commercials were gone. I had to sing all the songs, do all the commercials and the breaks. Legitimately. I mean, like, I remember one of my nightmares just doing Smells Like Teen Spirit. With the lights out, it's less dangerous. And then I'm like, that was Nirvana. But I was singing in my dream. And then I was like, here's some commercials. But I would like then do the commercials in my dream too. You know
what I've been dreaming about lately? I never had any dreams like that. I don't think I stressed out about the job like you did. I wasn't in a
high test.
Anyway, yeah. I've been having a dream lately that I'm eating my own clothes. What is that? It's serious. Like, I'm like out and I'm just sitting there eating my shirt. Hmm. Like chewing on it, digesting it. Like it's a meal.
Have you ever had a dream where you're eating your clothing? One person says no, but I have eaten lipstick. Dream interpretations. To dream that you are eating your clothes signifies loss, loneliness, and depression. That's not great.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, no, I'm good. I actually feel really good.
Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's the loss of your job. But a month ago when you got fired.
You know what?
Might be that might be manifesting itself in your brain. Who knows? You lost something that was important to you, right? That might be it. I don't believe in any of that shit either way. I don't.
I do.
Oh,
yeah. We could go on dreams, man. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, we'll have that. Well, you know what we do? Let's get a dream analysis on it, because I want to talk about that dream that I had and this other dream that I had the other night where you and I were swimming and we realized we didn't have any clothes on and we started laughing and then cuddling. I don't know what that means.
No. You didn't have that dream. And we're not talking about that with anybody. And I really wish you hadn't brought it up.
I was naked. You were naked. We were in a swimming hole. I realized you didn't have pants. I didn't have pants. We had a whole box of Slim Jims on the shore. We said we were fishing. We came back with no fish.
Too many details.
And then the car broke down to the side of the road.
Yeah.
And you got killed. And I didn't want to go home. Wait, that's Brokeback Mountain. We went on a fishing trip. Came back with no fish or pants.
By the way, a couple of things.
Yeah.
The Arden Roof Systems charity golf tournaments.
Yes,
I just want to get this out. That's happening July 5th. Looking for sponsors still. He's got a couple of spots, although they're filling up quickly. And also, you can sign up as a golfer or as a team of golfers. ArdenRoofSystems.com at the ranch in Edmonton. One of the best tournaments of the summer. Tomorrow, got a little sort of Monster Pro Wrestling Arden Roof Systems charity golf tournament promo video that I recorded at the Lair, which is where the guys from Monster Pro Wrestling create all their magic. So we'll have that on the show tomorrow, along with the owner founder of Sea Change Brewing Company here in Alberta. His name is Ian. Yes. So I'm looking forward to that. And Monster
Smart
Pro
dude.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool, man. And he just actually jumped on as a sponsor for that Grease Fire show that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
Monster Pro Wrestling tomorrow night, Alberta Avenue Community Center, $25 at the door, 7 o'clock bell. I am going. Monster Pro Wrestling is a Cryer Media client, so I'm going to go and check it out tomorrow. And that's it. That's everything I got. Dean,
give me wrestling tomorrow.
No. Long story. I'm really worried about Jimmy right now. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later. All right, Monster Pro Wrestling.
Actually, I think you should get on the phone with him if I'm not.
You want me to call him after? I'll call him after this. Yeah, I'd love to talk to him. We will do that right now. Lachlan, great to see you, buddy.
That was great a good to one today.
It was really good. Yeah. I like
it. Yeah. Okay. I'm out of here.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, brother. Lachlan Cross, anytime. At Lachlan Cross. Follow him on Twitter. There he is again. Oop, got him out now. There he is. He's gone. See you later, Lachlan. See you later, people. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show. As always, brought to you by our friends at Roam.auto. Listen, buying a car is a pain in the ass. You lose money the second you buy it. Everybody knows that. You get locked into these 5-7-year deals. Someone a fucking 10-year car deal? It's so crazy. You don't need that. You know, you don't. You need to subscribe to a vehicle. One payment includes your insurance, routine maintenance, roadside assistance. It's brilliant. Rome.auto. Again, go to Rome.auto if you're in the GTA. These are good people. Great people. They want to get you in a car. And they don't want you to have to suffer through the ownership of that car. So you can turn it in anytime. Very flexible monthly plans starting in a month, going to 12. You can do two, whatever you want. Doesn't really matter. Home delivery available. They've got an entire ecosystem of vehicles. You can browse for your cars. And again, you don't have to pay for insurance, routine maintenance, nothing. All you do is give them your credit card, one low monthly payment, boom, you're gone. And when you're done with the car, you can hand it back. Perfect for someone transitioning into a car. You want to try an EV. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm a client. That's how I got to know these people. And now we're telling everybody about this new service, car subscription for the 21st century. And you can get $150 off right now with promo code Rome with Dean. Just when you sign up, $150, sign up, Rome with Dean. That's your promo code. Drive on your own terms, a car subscription from Rome. Don't buy, subscribe, insurance, routine maintenance, roadside, everything included. The only thing you pay for is fuel and you walk away when you're done. Go to Rome.auto for more details. Rome with Dean is your promo code. Go do it. You're a genius if you do. Speaking of geniuses, we've gotten a chance to know some that make software that the world needs desperately. Factcheck.io, a group of scientists, data scientists, computer scientists, journalists, they got together and decided they were probably going to have to fix something for everybody else. And you know, it's almost as simple as this, is that they have the ability to tell you about anything that you consume online in detail and to verify whether or not what you're reading, looking at, consuming, whether it's a video, picture, text, no matter what it is, story from any news outlet, as to the veracity and the verification of the truth in that claim or any claim that they make and where it comes from and who did it. Pointing fingers is the best when it comes to this kind of stuff. It is the ultimate tie-breaking disinformation killer, factcheck.io. They need beta testers right now. You can go and sign up for the beta program. You can try and test it. They need you to help them kind of fill it out. And it's eating right now. The machine is called Eddie. Eddie is eating. Eddie is learning. And this will launch in the next couple of months. And if I'm to believe what I saw and what I've experienced with their beta program, this will change the way that people actually look at information, consume information. It'll put agency back into your hands. So go and sign up for the beta test. Go and follow them on Twitter at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io is the website, factcheck.io, factcheck.io. Do you believe? Also brought to you by our friends at CanTorque, makers of rugged, hardworking torque wrenches the world over. Leading industrial tool experts offer you the very best in sales and service, calibration, maintenance, and custom fabrication of industrial torque tools. Every solution for any tool rental, calibration, service, repairs, or any fabrication or distribution opportunities, they have everything under one roof. All their products on their website. Website's brand new. Go to cantorque.com today and check out their information. Also, his new podcast called Talking Torque, part of the Tagliani Pinty's NASCAR racing team. Colin and his group make rugged, hardworking torque wrenches for heavy industry around the world, nuclear, railroad, heavy machinery, forestry, and they have unparalleled expertise and design experts that offer those solutions to anybody around the world. I believe he just got back from China. He makes torque wrenches nobody else does that do a job nobody else can figure out, and he proudly manufactures here in Canada, puts a little maple leaf on all of his stuff too. He's awesome. He's a good man. Great company. Canadian made, Canadian owned, Canadian operated, Canadian manufactured. Go to cantorque.com today for more information. And as well, not that we need to tell you, brought to you by Muse Massage Spa. Right now, if you get a hold of Emily or Riley, go to their DMs, head to the contact portion of their webpage, Muse Massage Spa. She'll give you the Dean deal. Ask her about it. And it's fetish week all week this week and the entire month. So check them out at Muse Massage Spa. Also, on top of that, download their podcast. Muse on the Mic is the name of the podcast. You can get it on Patreon. You can get it on YouTube, and you can also download it anywhere you get your fine podcasts. The Patreon one's cool, though, totally uncensored. And you can follow them on social media, Muse Massage Spa. And as if we're not done there, you can go and visit them, 1290 Finch Avenue West. Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being here. Don't forget, everything you do is on YouTube. Go to crier.co for more details. YouTube has Crier Media and the Dean Blundell Show. Check those out. Rate, subscribe there. Same thing with the Apple, iTunes, Google, Spotify audio versions of this podcast. We always appreciate your help and appreciate you spending time with us. We will see you tomorrow. And we got a big day tomorrow, too. Engelhockton said, yeah, we do. Got a couple of guests. We got a big announcement tomorrow. So rate, subscribe. Make sure you join us. Subscribe anywhere you get our podcast, Dean Blundell Show, Cryer Media. Thanks for following. Thanks for hanging out with us. We will see you tomorrow.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com. And listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.